Hello everyone, you're now listening to After Scrum with Ada
and Ami. Here we talk about what is new,
what's interesting,
and what you would have considered difficult to tell.
Lego!
Hello guys, welcome back.
Hi, beautiful people.
Hi, how has the weekend been?
Yeah.
How are you? So by the time this is out, it should be like, you know, you're already in the pause of the week. So how's your Tuesday?
Is it Tuesday? Anyway, today is our videographer's birthday. As today we're recording. And so we're giving an after scrum shout out to Nobu.
Yeah.
He's been so awesome. And because of him, our videos are no longer blurry.
Yes. That's been a huge
so thank you very much. And yay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that's
which probably okay. In fact, we have to get this one with that.
All right. So how was your week? How was your week?
Well, this week was very intense, I guess. Like there was just a lot of things to do, a lot of deliverables. So I don't think I actually left. Like today is like the time I'm leaving my house.
Thank God for after school.
Right.
Am I giving value to your life?
I don't have anything. I don't know if it's dating because I know that even as you know, your week is all so the same thing. Like,
it's not true.
It's true.
It's not true. I did something very exciting yesterday. I went out.
Out that she never invited me. I just saw pictures.
I was invited out and I followed and went to Nike Lake. I've been there before, but this time around, we used their boats right thing. This is the first time I did it. And yeah. At first, I was like, should I not do it? And I was like, I mean, it's not every time you get
every
to have this opportunity.
Time. Exactly. See, you know what I'm living my life by this way? If I get an opportunity to do anything, please,
yeah,
I think
just do it.
Every single time.
Like, because the other people in the group, they were like, no. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I said, I'm doing it too. That was because we all did it. And it wasn't bad at all. Exactly. And guess what? We saw Crocs, the real Crocs. Crocodile.
Highlights.
It's not crocodile. Live one. But it was a bit
emaciated.
No.
Are you serious? Not fair.
You didn't see my status.
Well,
a baby crocodile. Mm. And when you see a baby of something, you know that the mother is looking somewhere.
Don't
that was what was on my mind. But I just tried to enjoy it. And it was fun. It was really good. And the only problem I have is that we can do better.
Yeah, I feel like the
that place is too big, too fine.
Yes,
for us
to twist like that,
just not utilize it. I mean, I was actually happy to see some group. There was a group before me, and there were some groups after me. So people are actually interested in coming and doing all this.
See,
but make it better. The water was smelly.
Yeah, if you provide tourism is such an interesting. It's both an interesting thing. When you, once you provide like an avenue for people to actually come and like have something to do aside from like you do whatever, they will take it every single time.
I'm telling you.
So the problem is
they can do better, make the place better,
yeah,
make
it more, I don't know
clean
if
the water,
the opportunities. You know? I remember last time I was here, you couldn't even use. I'm actually surprised. So maybe it's actually getting better because that was like a few years ago. Not, I think that was 2020.
Okay.
Or 20? No, not 2021. Actually, probably ending of 2020, but the listen, couldn't use the go on the boat ride because boats are not good and you know, the water was flooded and the port was dirty and smelly.
It smells,
so, yeah, that.
And there was a lot of licky in the on the tree branch. No, it was licky, all those white bed, yes. I don't think I've seen a lot of licky together.
That's
I don't know. Probably I have to have the right stuff.
I think that's the fact that people used to do the hand like this. Then after a while, the thing just appeared. And I think it's because of the face.
I mean, you can't tell now, can we? Anyways, it was fun. Like, I had to like do something that I would probably not do in a long time, but you know. So, yeah.
Okay, so see, maybe
I'm doing you like this.
Yes, this week I didn't leave my room, right? I think downstairs. It's just been so,
like you've been in your room. You've not reached outside of your house till today. Amazing stairs.
I'm telling you, like that was how like
it's the fact that you can do it in your house for me.
I don't know how calm, like, I just had, like, so much fun. And then, over the weekend, I just kind of, like, fell into the field, which, I think it was a long time for me. It wasn't that bad, actually. I was just, like, feeling pretty sick. So, I just knew that it, maybe I should be sick.
Yeah.
Because I was doing, like,
really?
But then, at least today, I'm out and I'm feeling better. Actually, that means that's why I'm very good news today.
That's a good reason to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, what's going on in the world recently?
A lot of bad and sad stories, I guess. Oh, wait, the TikTok stuff that I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people actually like tuned in and were watching. I see.
I saw.
I watched like some
videos. Yeah. Wow.
I don't know why, but like I find it so interesting how like involved people are. Like, well, technically TikTok is something that affects like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. And so how is it so involved people get in politics when whatever it is that you do because at that time
affects them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. And like, you know, the TikTok you appeared before Congress. And the questions that we're asking him, some of them are just so easy.
Okay, so I think what initially happened was that the US Congress, they banned people from having like their Congress members and their speakers from having TikTok apps.
Yeah. Like if you work for a US government,
you can't even have TikTok.
Like, you're a US government official, yeah. They told everybody to
use the app. Yeah. And then they are considering banning it for the whole of the United States. So yeah. I don't know. This thing somehow looks like a country war, you know.
Because they're trying to ban Facebook, so,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I think they may have genuine reasons to be concerned. Like they don't want their information to be tracked.
But that doesn't make any sense if you think about it. Because you don't see TikTok is a government owned company.
Yeah.
TikTok is a private company.
Exactly.
And when they asked the guy, they told him, okay, are you telling them that like he's not giving Chinese government information or something in that line?
Now, yeah, that's what I think is the control. Yeah.
So but he answered them and he was like that nobody from the government, their government has ever asked him to share that information with them.
And I think for them to ask this thing, that means that they're just clearly showing us that our data is not safe with United States applications.
Well.
Because they can easily ask, for them to be asking that means that
they themselves,
they give, yes, they ask these people for access to data and all that, which kind of violates our privacy rights and all that.
Yes, exactly. Know? But anyway, I think that it's just born out of fear,
probably
for the most part, right? And maybe they are actually not using it. Because the truth is that, you know, data is a very powerful thing.
Very.
And like, you also have the data of the people. Yeah. Forget that, like, now everybody's like, please, TikTok, pick my data. What are you going to do with my data? That kind of thing. But the data of like the way people behave, you can be able to inform like
you can influence the way they will behave, the way they will react to things,
exactly, even without them knowing.
Exactly, social engineering.
Exactly, without them even like they won't even have any idea that that thing is happening, but it's actually happening.
Yeah.
So I think that yes, of course, the concerns are genuine, but I think that it's misplaced because, like I said, TikTok is a private company.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. So I'm saying that your government official shouldn't use TikTok. But then you know the funny, the interesting thing, right?
Yeah.
The TikTok CEO said though that what they are willing to do is that they are willing to port the data from the like app, right, to US, so that the data from US is managed by a TikTok branch
in the US.
Okay. So that they're the ones that are managing the TikTok
exactly
for their people because they're the American soil.
How do they want to have the data of all? Do you know, I saw this thing, I don't know if they said it in meet in the Congress meeting of you, what's it called, whatever they did, but I think they were asking them to sell or they will ban it in the US or something. So like I think it's very very ridiculous to come out and just say that you give us your stuff.
That's intimidation.
Intimidation now.
Actually, so this part, right, where the guy actually, I watched this part of the deliberations where he actually like explained to them that, you know, he's willing to like move, have like a branch in the
America. That's the most.
And the guy wasn't buying it. He wasn't buying it. I don't think so. The problem is that the people that were actually like asking those questions didn't have enough information about the. I felt that
the tech.
Those, yes, I felt that those questions that they were asking, they are already prepared for them.
Yeah.
And so they don't necessarily know what is the right or the wrong answer in that question. So they were all coming off as being very, you are just attacking
and there was no really do you think there was any tech person on board that on actually that on that panel or something?
I didn't see
someone that has an idea of what the tech does or what the tech, you know.
It's crazy how like, you know, the people that are like, you know, deciding the fate of a particular product are people that are not
using it.
Right? You just
bring it. This is how politics is all around the world.
You remember this what happened with Twitter?
Yes.
Something similar, not exactly
the same. Yeah, it's looking like it's going in the same direction.
Yeah. So well, I'm just like, a lot of people like, because the app is used by a lot of people.
A lot of people make money from TikTok. Yes. A lot of people have found their fortunes because of TikTok. Yes.
Would advertise. You know that advertisement has moved from the normal way that you, like, you know, you see something, okay, you want to do this, you want to do that. Advertisement is so soft in this game that this particular video on TikTok I was watching. Yeah, the girl, her father, her parents own a caviar company, and she was basically
advertising caviar. Fish egg, have
you? Yes. That stuff is very expensive.
I don't know,
but she was. I don't know why
but continue.
I cannot speak to you because I've not had it. So anyway, but that's very expensive. But she just used to do it like she didn't day in her life. She just have a snack, let me show you how to have a snack with this and this. So she puts it in her crackers and because of those that small thing that she does, people would just want to this is nice. Let me try it.
Yeah.
And they were selling out. And all those things happened, I think, because actually TikTok gave them that platform.
Yes.
And
it's not fair to take it away from them just like that.
I think going concerns is probably because of the fact that according to them, TikTok is the largest social media platform right now in the US, second only to YouTube.
Wow.
So that's insane. But for the
they've never had a time where they were not on top.
Yes, for the app that is trending in the country, not to be an app that is from the country, is scary for them. So I think that's actually like what's happening.
Probably.
They could put like a couple of restrictions because someone was asking, one of the questions that they asked was like, if TikTok promotes, was it genocide or what?
How?
And then he was like, no. And it's so crazy because he was like that, technically, like, you know, and he was like, okay, what about kids, like, or, you know, and he was like, on the app, you have like things that you can use to restrict your
kids. I think there's a restriction for people younger than 13 or so. Someone was asking if his children use it, and he was like, they don't use it because they're not of age yet.
Yeah, exactly. But I know that there are people that are less than that age, I think, that are on TikTok, but then you have the chance.
They are blind.
You have a chance, I feel like, you know, do those parental
checks.
Yes, exactly. So, in the end, it's down to, okay, how can the, I understand how the US is protecting their interests, by the way.
Definitely.
But I still, I still get it from the back of someone that, you know, owns the company, that built this company from scratch.
From scratch.
Yeah.
I beg. Somebody's hard work.
Yeah. So I think that's one interesting thing that's going on.
You guys, let us know what you think. I've not really gotten on the TikTok with. I don't know why.
Why?
I think Instagram is okay for me.
No.
And Twitter. Do you know, I spend a lot of time on Twitter.
I don't know why. Okay, you see, okay, maybe it's a preference thing.
Yeah.
I don't buy the Twitter bug.
Because I just see TikTok as where people are dancing, you know. But you know, you see why I love Twitter? The comment section is where everything happens.
I feel this in Twitter people are always fighting.
Even Instagram, the comment sections are always it for me. No matter what. And if there are comments, I want to read it. I want to be there.
See, I do sometimes say like why I don't indulge in Instagram and on missing Twitter is because sometimes I read the comment section or something and I feel myself getting angry. Like
okay, it's not supposed to be angry.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, I don't understand why I'm annoyed. Like sometimes You know how like you talk about trolls on the internet, and then there's something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel something pushing me to just insult somebody back on the app. So I just leave. And why like TikTok? Like when you come to TikTok, like it's very difficult for you to be angry. Like it's very difficult because another thing is that the app is so tailored that you know the kind of things you see are the type of things that you actually like. Okay. So the algorithm is really, really good. So if you don't like to see racist content, you will not see racist content on TikTok because the moment you see them, you just go past.
I don't even think I see racist content on Instagram. Oh, because they have like all these apps, they have checks for all these things. Mm. There are some content you can't even upload.
Mm. I don't know. I just feel like people say a lot of like it's not possible. Maybe it's possible, but I haven't seen on TikTok where someone puts out their art or something like that, and someone in the comment section is like, "What is this?"
Okay.
No matter how bad it is, people will be like, "Oh, okay, the light had that." Or no, it's not about lying. Or nobody will comment.
Okay.
And exactly. Like, but it's very difficult also to see something that you'd be like that will not speak to like a certain level of people. Like there's this girl. Okay. Now maybe I'm taking this a little bit, but there's this girl that her fashion sense is amazing, right?
It's different.
It's very different.
Okay.
Like she wears like a lot of clothes on top of her, like you know. And then her comment section, her comment section is a little bit mean because some people be like, "She's telling me this is a joke or something like that." But even in between all those comment people, you don't see people that be like, "Well, yeah, yourself as long as you're happy." Or you see people like, actually like vibe with that and listen. And if you go to their own profile, you see that they actually also dress that way.
Okay.
So I don't know. That's why I like TikTok, I guess.
Anyway,
see, I'm speaking to the Congress now.
everybody with your preference. Please don't take TikTok from us. Leave your thanks. Okay, so besides the whole TikTok thing, there was something that happened last week with ChatGPT. So for a while, my search history was not showing, and at first I thought it was maybe my network because sometimes you just like benefit of doubt as a Nigerian.
Yes,
you just feel like your network is not loading. Actually, that's what I thought. Till I now came back and saw that they fixed it and it was debugged. They actually sent a notification message to everybody that they had a bug, clinical, and they have fixed it. So that one is good and fine, but there was something else that happened. I started seeing like some people complaining about seeing search history that is not their own. And why this thing is scary is because people use ChatGPT to do very sensitive things. Some people use ChatGPT to send emails. Some people use, you know, as ChatGPT can browse Google on your behalf. You can ask it to go on Google. Yes, it can write emails for you. It can do a lot. Like, it's so powerful. You get. And see someone else's chat, someone else's what he asks to do. Like, it's if you are Googling, how do I write a function that this is one? Is that a problem? If that's what you're asking ChatGPT to do, like me. But when you're asking it to do more personal stuff, is like very, very scary. So, like, I don't know. Some people start to raise concern. Like, can we actually trust ChatGPT to do these really sensitive things for us? Yeah. Like, even though, yes, I mean, we can be lazy. And, of course, who doesn't want someone that can do something? I don't pay help, you know, but I don't know. What do you think? Do you think people should just take it easy?
Yes.
I feel like people should just take it easy. What they are asking to do.
It's not even about taking it easy with what they ask you to do per se. I'm talking about like this particular incident.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as...
it's not that serious.
Yes, as they make it. Okay, well, I understand like, you know, concerns, but... Okay, just imagine that you receive an email about like a login, email message. Okay, I wrote an email message to my boss to say something. You don't know who has that data. Like that data is useless to you if it doesn't like inform you of like, okay, is this person that has this information? Or is this person that...
But you feel like you can use ChatGPT to write an actual email for you?
For you, how?
You can use it to write an actual. You need to write an email to some address.
Okay. In that case, maybe that was like the kind of mistake that you know they should try to avoid. I really think that this particular incident was just kind of like things that I would refer to as growing pains.
Yeah,
because the truth is that like ChatGPT
is still a baby and a
new application, and
of even though they spent a lot of money, doesn't mean that. They will not make mistakes. Speaking of ChatGPT and what do you think about this Google Bard and Microsoft ChatGPT war? Because it seems like right now there's a war for who is more superior. I can understand Google's pains because this is their entire livelihood that ChatGPT is going after. And it's not going after it in a way that people think it's obvious. Mm. When you think about it, you'd be like, you think it's peer pressure. Mm. But it's not peer pressure. Why?
Mm.
Because these people, Google's entire business is on their search. Mm. That's their most profitable business ever. That's where they make the most of their revenues from. Mm. From people placing ads on their search. Mm. And look at it now. When you have a problem, where do you go to first? Do you go to Google or you go to ChatGPT right now? For the past week.
I went to ChatGPT.
Good. Mm. Now, Google's usage is dropping. Yeah. It's small. It's little by little.
Mm.
Now, Microsoft integrating ChatGPT into their products means that
more
Microsoft products are getting better value.
Yeah.
You can use their products to do
anything.
More things. Yeah. And like so. That means that people are going to now start moving gradually. It's small.
Mm.
Moving towards using Microsoft.
The truth is that I don't completely agree.
Is their concern.
Yeah.
It's not about whether you agree or not. Big changes don't happen like overnight. In a snap.
That's true, yeah.
It's small. When people are saying that something is more powerful, something gives you more accurate results. The major difference between Bard and ChatGPT is that when you ask Bard something, it's going to take you to a link.
Yeah.
But ChatGPT will give you it will extract the answer, process it, give it to you, and explain to you why it is the answer.
Mm-hmm. if you need more explanation from the explanation that was given to you, it will even like there are sometimes like of course I understand, right? But I still think that I would see why Google's usage is going to be going down because. If I even just conduct like study based on myself,
exactly,
I know how much more often like I use ChatGPT and then I find like okay, I get an idea of what I want to do before I even like decide okay if I do I want to use
Google,
and then I now go on Google to do this stuff, right? So I understand though, but I'm still holding out. But also remember that when Google came on the scene, they displaced a lot of. If they knew that the space companies, when they came in, the smart thing to do, right, which I think that they were doing at the time,
but they don't know how.
It's not even about being fast enough. Sometimes you can be building something that you think is the future, but then that's just not the direction that
people go. Do you think one of the issues that Google had is that? They have developers that were building something, but ChatGPT was an open source. I think that's one of their greatest advantages they had. It was an open source project for a very long time.
Yeah.
So much input over the years from different people, from different walks of life, from different countries, testing this code, trying to... And you see that it's not like in the first year or in the second year that they were building that this came out. It's not even third year, fourth year, fifth year.
Mm.
So it has taken a lot of time. And they were like focused on the goal. They had a goal. It's not like, I know that they would have gotten to a point where Google is right now that it can give you a link. But they'll be like, no, this is not what we want. Mm. We want precise, correct answers on anything.
Mm.
And they kept working towards it, feeding it data. Because many people are using, many people are testing, many people are asking it different questions.
Mm.
So I just feel like maybe Google can catch up, but it's not going to be now.
I don't even think that Google should be trying to catch up.
What do you think Google should?
I don't think that Google has remained like the one of the top companies, right? up top tech companies up until now, without having like some. So what I know that about Google is that they have like a lot of people working on different things, and they've been hiring the smartest of the bunch.
But do you know that now they are firing the smartest of the bunch that they hired?
Think about it.
Because probably they were not built. They were maybe they thought. And I don't even know where they are firing from. They could probably be firing from their R&D because what they thought that they were building is not what the world needs right now. So
I really think that, right, it's one of two things. They can decide to completely abandon the whole AI. By the way, we're still waiting.
I don't think
so. Cross our listen, like they might decide to abandon the whole AI route. I don't think they would, by the way, because I know I know that they probably have already started.
Based on AI.
They've already started, like, you know, doing like a lot of bringing out like a lot of things that are selling beta tests and stuff like that, you know, that are built with this. But what I'm saying is that they can decide, okay, we don't want to go with maybe saying AI is like broad, don't go with OpenAI or ChatGPT's strategy, you want to go with a defense strategy,
okay.
And I think that that's actually the best thing, that
because now it's trying to start right
directly, it would be like attacking. Instead of like,
it's not going to be like attacking. I think it's be like embarrassing if they can't meet up to what they are. And it's not going to be like this. Remember what we talked about in this Figma stuff, that Adobe could never know what Figma would be. So Adobe could never build Figma because the Adobe team is not Figma team.
Exactly.
So I don't think they should even be competing at all.
Because that's what I'm saying.
If they get to like ChatGPT, is that ChatGPT could have been something else.
Yeah. I feel like if they decide now to come and start and be trying to get to be ChatGPT or like, you know, see what ChatGPT is doing and know how they can do it better, it would be like an attack mechanism as opposed to going on, no, it would be like a defense mechanism as opposed to going on the attack, which means find something else that is completely novel. Yes, of course, now that ChatGPT has come out and we're like, oh my god, where did you think about this? This is an absolutely amazing idea.
Yeah,
but someone else can come up with something that is not necessarily as obvious now that ChatGPT is out, it's now the obvious solution.
Yeah,
but someone else can come out with something that's not that obvious now, but that is better. And well, I know that, like, you know, I think that sometimes we put these big companies on a pedestal, and but you forget
definitely
that, like,
do.
Yeah, exactly. But
and they're always under pressure because of us,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, we pay so,
but anyway, Sha, I just feel like we can we just have to keep our fingers crossed and just see what happens from that.
It's crazy. By the way, did you guys know that the CTO of ChatGPT, a lady, her name is Mira Murati, ex-Tesla. So, you know, big win. Women in tech. Women month, big win.
Yeah, it's
for
true.
Women in tech.
Exactly, match. I forgot.
Yes,
true. I feel like we need, like, this. When they say, when they're talking about representation in tech, right, this kind of, like, saying that wants
recent representation. You know, we actually do have a lot of representation. I mean, check the founders of Wi-Fi and all these things. The only woman. And I like that woman because every time I see people talking about her, I always see like a very sexy woman. And I'm like, how can I be you?
Yes.
You take so much time to look good.
For my mom.
And you also
for my mom's good.
Write beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I want to build something that is much more amazing, you know, ChatGPT. And it's not even about just being the person in that. I just want to be part of a team that builds something
amazing.
That's really like mind blowing.
That takes the world by storm.
Yes,
you know?
And I want to have like front row seats, right?
Yeah.
Of course, but there's a part of me that wants to be the person like anchoring it. But even if I'm not the person anchoring that particular,
I don't even always want to be the anchor.
I just want to have
being in the team. I think I like the being in the team feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Come back to Nigeria. I heard that the Naira had like a surge.
Yeah, they said 63%. Amazing numbers.
Yeah, but the truth is that apparently the numbers of the people that are actually like signing up for the Naira team is not like you can't see it in the number of transactions that are being done. So it's not translating. Which means that I think that maybe they're offering an incentive or something.
So there was this news on Coin Guinea. Jesus Christ. There was this news. If you Google it, you see it. So they were saying that The Inara had like 63% like use recently since this whole rollout of these new currencies because of the scarcity. And they said that they were doing something that I don't know why it has, when they are doing things like they're doing spirituals.
But which year it's in the news.
Which year it's in the news. They said that they were giving incentive to people that were affected by this rollout of these new currencies. And for you to get it, you have to use the Inaira. And according to the report, over 4 million
government is doing the baby.
Over 4 million new users on Inaira receiving these monies and using Inaira to work.
It's sad.
Why is it not reaching us? I don't understand. I'm in pain. It's affecting me too. It's affecting me. I don't have money.
In the bank, I cannot even touch it. It's only when you read the news that you find out about things like this.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know anybody that uses Inaira. So when I first saw it, it was amazing because I mean, this news that is happening in our own home base, and we're not really hearing so much about it.
I feel like the truth is that most people are asking, what is the difference between using the Inaira and using a normal mobile app to do transactions?
Okay, yes, that's because, a very, very good question.
Makes sense. So at first, I was thinking that the Inaira app will allow you to connect all your accounts into like
one super account.
Yes. So now it's not like, and then you don't necessarily need to transfer the money from your bank. Once you connect it to your account, then that money is not like the total, and then you can now decide to just use. So like these are the banks were failing us then.
Yeah.
You can just use the Inaira app to make the chance.
Do whatever you... I mean, that would have been, like, beautiful, you know? Like, you have all your banks together. You can now choose, okay, this is the bank I want to do the transaction from.
It's your money, right?
No, no. It's not like you log in. Because the Inaira is owned by the government. They have all your details.
Yes.
So you can now say, okay, you know how much you have in the different banks. So you can now say that you're using the Inaira to pay, but you want them to take it from Sterling Bank. Or you want them to take it from Zenith Bank and they'll do whatever they need to do, as it doesn't concern you. Yeah. That would have been like beautiful.
Or like let it be much more than like I don't well right now. I think I've actually said the same when it came out. Like I don't see the
value proposition
right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know that there are a lot of things that they could have done differently to make the app like, you know, something that if they were trying to eliminate banks, the banking systems. Or something like that. If what was the purpose?
I don't think they were trying to.
Yeah, if they if there was like a specific thing that you say, okay, yeah, this is one thing that you know that if you use it, like at least for instance, that time that the banks were failing, if the Inaira system was very reliable, you could easily you didn't need so now right you need to use like a particular bank account to open the Inaira system, right? So like it doesn't make sense. You cannot add like if you want to add an extra bank account, you have to.
Remove
that one. You have to delete that particular account
and create another account. One. And so what's the value account? Proposition?
Yeah,
I don't see any innovation.
Except if they're saying one man, one bank.
No, but it's not possible now.
Because we have
what we have is one man, one BVN.
Yes, one man.
That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. Now that's another thing. If it was tied to the BVN.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That makes sense. But then I think that actually what they did was that if you log in, even without having like a BVN, which doesn't make sense because I thought that they said everybody has a BVN. Okay, some people don't have banks. But if you need without having a BVN, you can actually like
But if you don't have a bank, how do you
now transfer? Yes, how do you fund it? I don't know because the first step in the education needs to be the same. But then they were saying that if you don't, like they have tiers basically, right? And if you don't have BVN or like let's say, okay, maybe it's not like you have bank, but you've not done something like 2FA, sorry.
Yeah.
And then you don't add it. So the only thing you just have is your phone number.
Okay.
Then there's a limit to the amount you can send. And then if you want to have more, then you have to add.
So if you don't have a bank account, can you use it to get money?
I don't know. I don't think so because
the money is going to your bank.
Process, the registration process, the first thing that they ask you for is to link a bank. So I'm not sure if you can be able to bypass that particular flow.
Okay. I don't know, sure. So I really can't see the difference. But the point is that a lot of people are using it and I don't know. I would like to like know what the experience and like what you use it for different from your bank account.
How are they giving the money? Tell us, please.
Yes, that too is also very important because we are all Nigerians and we're all going through this together.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that is for bank charges, for withdrawing cash.
Like, even if you want to even send someone money, they're like, you have to send me a bank charge. You have send, so you pay bank charge because you're transferring for someone money.
Yeah.
Because you don't have cash. The person will tell you that you have to pay extra money.
Yeah.
For them as bank charge.
My area,
you have
so
to withdraw from POS. Exactly. Because they have to withdraw from POS. So you have to do that one as well. On top of them. Like, I beg.
Like, please let us know where the money is.
But anyway, I'm hoping that very soon, like, we'll have more cash situation. Should they say that they need money?
But do you think that this whole thing, the way the whole thing went down, do you think it was a plot to force us into a cashless society?
So when it came out, let me be honest with you, I actually, like, 100%, I was among people that supported the idea when they brought it up in the first place, right?
Okay.
I was thinking that it was actually, like, a ploy to make it, like, so that, because money can tell stories.
Okay.
So you now not be saying, if you're a kidnapper, you say that they're asking you to bring 3 million naira. The kidnapper knows that you cannot go and withdraw 3 million naira over the counter.
Yeah.
So if you want to transfer that, the person has to give you an account number.
Yeah.
So things like that. Like, so I was actually, like, very excited about the idea.
Okay.
But if it was a... But then I now remember that I'm in Nigeria. And some of our producers don't think that far. So I thought that, okay, maybe I'm giving this people too much credit. Yes. Well, you know, it happens sometimes. So, and then when they, like, if they knew that this, which is why I don't actually think that it's like a cashless policy anymore, even though they're now coming out to say that, oh, it wasn't meant to make Nigerians suffer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just feel like they had, like, another reason, but it wasn't about cashless policy then. Because if they wanted to do this whole cashless policy then, right? And of course, if there are people that are thinking ahead to say, okay, yes, I think that we want to get Nigeria to this point,
you
would have seen the
loopholes.
But another thing is true. I listened to, I think I read it, like, where the CBN governor was saying that they actually, like, before they decided to do this, that they had, like, a lot of load coming in. Like, they kind of, like, so they exceeded capacity. They didn't realize that the apps couldn't handle as much.
I think that's one of the reasons they didn't plan it on the tech side.
No, but that's what he was saying, that right before they actually, like, launched, right? That they had those tests, but that somehow
it's working on life.
Yeah, so I think that's actually what happened. Right? Okay. There might be a little bit of
but do you think part of what could have happened generally in the banking sector was the fact that a lot of bankers, senior bankers, Jack Madlands say. I think it's part of it. Because when your top talent has been working on, there are some people that know this, like, these apps and this technology is true and true. And there are some people that, now having new people to just learn on the system and trying to do this whole thing at the same time, I don't think they would have been able to even
The truth is that I don't know about the banking, like the senior bank managers and stuff like that, but I feel like if they
the tech talent, if they
built software that was solid,
it
would have stood the test of time, and irrespective of if they are there or they're not there, that tech is supposed to be able to support itself. So I really don't think that it was that them leaving actually, like, had that much impact. Of course, now, like, because they left now, like, maintenance of the app.
But if that app
on its own, remember that even before this whole crazy thing started happening, Zenith Bank mobile app, you are not using Zenith Bank. Mobile app was already moving crazy for that time. Because before, like, this whole thing started, I couldn't even buy airtime for my Zenith Bank.
Wow.
They will say, so the price on, because they increased the price for data. And it also increased on the Zenith Bank app itself. And, well, that part now, you can say, okay, maybe if, like, they had, like, more, maybe their team left or something like that. Right? But I feel like if they build, like, software that is, of course, like I said before, like, there are only so much that you can account for.
Right.
And as you're building, you're not learning.
So,
but I feel like if that software was upscaled enough to begin with, right, it would have been able to comfortably handle
to scale
that, yes, and that this would have been such a perfect time to do that cashless policy thing.
Yeah, I think this would have been the fact.
Yeah, because the thing is that if that thing worked, it might have actually helped. But did you think that the Naira, I think that the price of Naira started going down actually because of this Naira scarcity term. So the Naira to dollar equivalent, I think that's been steady for a while. I don't know if that's gone up.
I don't know. I think probably my own idea of why it's happening is because we have too much internal problems.
Okay, but why the
so thinking of doing transaction in dollars, I don't know, it's my own mindset. I'm not saying I'm right. But on another news, so how do you get users to use your products well? There's this stuff that has been trending for a while now in Lagos, and that's Jazzy's Burger.
Someone should buy me Jazzy Burger. I'm saying Enugu.
In Enugu, so just
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know. Do they do flight delivery?
Yes.
I mean, you should consider it.
Yes, now, but then if they ask you to pay $50,000 for burger,
I mean, we could also do food reviews as well. I think we can enter that space somehow. Anyways, one thing I like about the whole Jazzy Burger, a lot of people have been talking about it, and besides the fact that it's, people say it's the best burger ever, which I'm very happy about. No, I don't know. If a lot of people say something is awesome, then I mean, it should be awesome.
Well, I feel like, well, it's possible, right? But then you're also forgetting the influence that Don Jazzy has in the taste.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just, okay, not bad, but an okay burger. But because it's so Jazzy, you need to add the spice, the jazz, the flavor. So you know,
that thing they said, the jazz in every bite.
Yeah.
But that's not even my point. So the part I liked about it was when I heard that they had a leaderboard that could help people to know who is buying the most. I think that idea is like so brilliant. I went through their website. It's like a simple e-commerce, I don't know, 5 pages website, you know, normal e-commerce website. And the fact that, okay, I didn't see the leaderboard on the website.
No, I think on the app.
But the fact that they had that leaderboard on the app, I think is actually really awesome. Mm. It's something that I think over the years, Don Jazzy has proved that he has been somehow immersed in the tech community. If you notice, he has influence for some brands, banks, and all that. So I think this leaderboard thing is an idea that happens mostly on when you see like what's it called? Like Web3 projects that they are doing something. Oh, they have a leaderboard, and I feel like maybe he got the idea from that. Yeah. But I think it's like a really awesome idea. I've not seen that idea happen in e-commerce, and I think the most that we get to see is somebody bought 3 minutes ago. Somebody bought 1 hour ago. You know?
I think that's actually beautiful. It shows that Don Jazzy's team is working more than some of our government officials. Yes, this is a sub. But then
wow. Okay.
So seriously, that idea is like, you know, it's really good. And I like to see the way they've just kind of like married, you know, the whole
experience. It's not something that is usually in e-commerce application.
Like that the thing is out there. A lot of people are going to try to
fight for the leader, but it's kind of brings us back to like to-go days. When people used to use the app a lot so that they can move up the leader. But
it's this kind of like social engineering, you don't even realize
gamification.
That, you know, that people that, you know, you're just making sure that you're number one on this app. Because another thing, just imagine if you're an upcoming musician and you want Don Jazzy to notice you. You buy Don Jazzy Burger and trend on number one, and then you have like, I don't agree.
No, I don't know. I'm just thinking, I don't know what it would take them to get to number one as upcoming.
Because of, they don't start early,
you know.
But
I actually thought it was an awesome idea. Is this something that you like to see more in e-commerce?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to see the different variations of it, not necessarily it, right? Well, like I was about to say, right? Because of the fact that he has done this now, like
more people use it. This is Nigeria. Everybody will jump on it.
I like to see like more interesting variations of feed. Like, but I'm actually trying to decide, think about like an idea in e-commerce that built on top of this whole leaderboard thing, but it still has, but not necessarily this leaderboard thing, but still, like, you know, makes people without actually like knowing it want to buy that. And this is actually, I think Maca does something similar, well, not exactly, but they do the same here. Like, if a celebrity,
oh, you shop from Shop Maca.
No, no, I downloaded the app one time just to check it out.
Okay,
so they did this, they do the same here. Like, if they find influencers on like TikTok and Instagram, and then they get them to kind of like advertise for them on the app by wearing the clothes from the app.
Is this not normal, like, influencing? What's the difference?
The difference, I think, is the fact that, like, you know, when you want to, so if it's influencer marketing, right, you go to, like, let's say the different app itself, maybe let's say, or you see influencer marketing, think about it, but like if you go to, like, say Instagram or Twitter, TikTok or wherever, right?
Yeah,
and you're trying to buy something,
mm-hmm.
right? You find someone that, let's say you happen to follow this person specifically, right, before you cannot be able to see that particular product. But let's say that you're actually on Maca and you're looking for something to buy, and these creators that they're using are not necessarily like models per se.
Yeah.
Like people that, regular some of them people. Are, exactly. So some people can now say, okay, this person, and this person have the same kind of body type or that kind of thing.
Mm.
And then they decide to order something based on the fact that it looks good on this person.
Okay.
And not completely necessarily based on the fact that, okay, I like this person. Well, of course, I like this person enters it, child, but like seeing that, okay, this person and me have the same similar
kind body type.
I remember I was
waiting to hear the leaderboard part of it.
Oh no, that's why I was saying that it's not necessarily the leaderboard. I think that the leaderboard part of it, you know, I'm talking about is just the fact that, like, you know, for the fact that each of those creators now are now trying to, I think they have like a ranking system.
So they're not trying to,
like, you can like more of their like products that are under them. I'm not very sure about this, actually. Let's just dip in on that. But something like that.
I like this conversation, because I know we talk about we talk about Web3 and all that. We don't really talk about e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And e-commerce is actually a driver, like big tech, in a lot of countries. So mm-hmm. I like this, like, talking about e-commerce, because e-commerce is actually very important. The world moves through e-commerce, you know.
Exactly.
Anyways, kudos to the Jazzy's team. I liked it and I was really impressed. And
I've
not seen it yet. I think I would
probably, like, you know, have a taste of the burger.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will be worth the hype.
Amen.
I'm still keeping my fingers crossed.
Amen. Even though I'm not a burger person, but yeah.
Are you serious?
No.
Why? What part of it don't you like?
The vegetables. And that's what makes it burger. If not, it's eating bread and meat. And I'd rather eat bread and meat than eat the vegetables.
Yes. Oh my God. I actually propose this is going to put vegetable in my bread.
Why? And then they put tomato. What is that? Is it stew? Please, let's not go into it. Let's not go into it, please. I have a lot to say about burger, but it's fine.
It's been like a whole podcast episode. Why am I eating burgers?
Anyways, guys, thank you guys so much for sticking around with us. We hope you learned a thing or two from us, and, you know,
don't forget to like, subscribe, follow,
share with your friends and your family.
Tell what happened about, like, you know,
tell us what you like to hear about, what you consider difficult in tech that you like us to know, and you know, just shout out to us. We'll definitely listen to you. Thank you guys for sticking around.
Bye.